we used some quotes or some snippets from Graham Annesley's press conference a couple of nights ago. And it's a big thank you, Graham, for joining us this morning. How are you?
I'm okay, thank you.
It's a few changes up there, mate.
Yeah, it's been a very busy week and, you know, not one that anyone takes any great pleasure out of.
No.
Politics or being a CEO of a National Rugby League club, Graham, what's easier or harder?
They both have their moments, mate. So, yeah, I'll reserve judgment on that.
How did it all go pear-shaped, Graham?
Well, look, you know, I think firstly what I need to say is that the board had no intention of doing anything while we were still playing football this season. I mean, at the end of the year, there would have been the usual review of team performances and, you know, our whole football operation, as there is in every club at the end of every season. Unfortunately, the timing was kind of taken out of the board's hands by a number of issues that arose publicly, and the board were forced to intervene and act, and they had a lot to consider, and ultimately the one thing they couldn't do was they could not make a decision. They had to try and resolve this, and in the end they did.
It was obviously pretty bad though, mate. There's only two rounds to go.
Yeah, it is. You know, absolutely. I mean, you know, worst timing possible to be able to do something like this. You know, we would have done anything we could have to avoid it, but it did become a public issue. There was an enormous interest in what the outcome was going to be. And, you know, the board, well, we couldn't just stick our heads in the sand and say it's not happening and, you know, we'll get to it in a month or so. It needed to be resolved. And there were a lot of factors to consider, and the board ultimately made the decision.
You said a couple of nights ago the catalyst was the feud between Hayne and Henry. I just wonder why those two couldn't get behind closed doors and sort it out and there be that mutual respect value.
Well, that's a good question. And, you know, we would have, you know, when we signed Jared Hayne a year ago, you know, everyone was behind it and everyone wanted it to work. And, you know, we, once a player becomes a part of the squad, of course, the, you know, the coach is the day-to-day manager of those relationships. And, you know, we're all very disappointed that it's ended this way.
Did you try and advise that, mate? Throw him in a room and work it out?
Well, look, Terry, I don't want to go into too much detail. No. I mean, clearly, you know, what happens in house should stay in house.
Sure.
But, you know, there were a number of factors that contributed to the ultimate decision. You know, not just, I mean, it's been portrayed in the media as being purely about Neil Henry and Jared Hayne. And you know, that's far from the truth. I mean, yes, that's brought it to the public's attention. But, you know, there are a range of other factors, and I know I've been criticised for not going into those factors, but, you know, some of them have been mentioned. You know, I mean, of course, there were financial considerations, of course, there were legal considerations, and, you know, there were team performance considerations. I mean, we've conceded more points this year than any team in the competition.
Yeah.
We're currently sitting in 14th place. We've conceded close to 27 points each game. We've conceded nearly 180 points in the last five games. You know, they're important factors that have to be considered.
Can you dispel the myth that the board signed Jared Hayne and extended him without the consultation with the coach, Neil Henry?
Yeah, that's not correct.
Yeah. And was that really disappointing? If I'm a board member, I'd be pretty peeved if I thought that misinformation was put out there.
Well, you know, I can't speak for the board's personal views, but it was disappointing that that was portrayed the way it came out. And, you know, of course, the coach is consulted on all signings.
Graham, it's probably a more general one. And, you know, as a sports program, we talk at length about the Gold Coast and I'm going to say the lack of success of teams from the Gold Coast from many different codes over a long, long period of the time. Can you put your finger on that? And I'm not just talking specifically about the Titans here. What is it about the coast that makes success so hard? I often think it's the transient population. What do you put it down to?
I don't put it down to anything because I think that's a myth, Terry.
I mean,
you know, it's just a part of Australia like any other part of Australia. It's actually rugby league heartland.
But it's a fact, mate.
Yeah, it's a fact, but Terry, let's not forget that it took the Sharks 50 years to win a premiership.
Yes, fair point.
You know, I mean, this club's 10 years old.
Yeah.
And, you know, we need to keep that in some kind of focus. But, yeah, our performances haven't been what we'd hoped for. You know, we, off the back of last year and the roster that we had this year, you know, we were very hopeful of a good season. Now, yes, some factors have played into that. You know, we've had a horrendous run with injuries and so forth. But we're not the only club that gets injuries. And, you know, we've definitely underperformed this year. But, you know, I don't put that down to anything environmentally. It's got nothing to do with the air on the Gold Coast, the same as it is in Sydney. In fact, this is a fantastic place to live.
Yeah.
And, you know, we should have players kind of breaking their neck to get here because it's just got a lower standard of, lower cost of living, rather. It's got affordable housing. It's an hour up the road to Brisbane. It's an hour in the plane to Sydney. Wonderful climate, you know, so it's a fantastic place to live. And this place will have success. I've got no doubt about that. And as a board and as an organisation, we have to strive for that success, and that's exactly what we're doing.
Oh, well, that location and all those things, Graeme, it sounds like Kevvy Walters is the man.
Well, yeah, look, I've been reading some of that. There's enormous speculation about all sorts of names being thrown up. What I can say to you is that we haven't even started a process at this stage. I mean, obviously, we're only, you know, less than 48 hours into the decision that was made on Monday, and we've got a board meeting on Friday, a regularly scheduled board meeting, and we'll talk about the process that we'll adopt to appoint a new coach. We want to act as quickly as possible without rushing into it, because obviously after the next two games the players go on leave and they come back first week in November, and we want to have a new coach in place by the time they get back. So you know, we will go through a process, and I don't think we'll be placing an ad. I don't think anyone needs to know that the position's vacant. I'm pretty sure that's common knowledge. So there's already been a range of people who have expressed interest, and we want to make sure we make the right appointment.
You sit down the people you're going to interview. Will one of the questions be, how would you handle Jarryd Hayne?
Well, I think one of the questions that you ask anyone who's got responsibility for managing people is, how are they going to manage them? You know, that's no different to, you know, appointing a CEO or any manager in any organisation. And clearly, you know, one of the biggest issues to confront managers is how they deal with their people. So, and not, you know, not just anyone in particular, not just Jarryd Hayne, but, you know, there's a range of different personalities in any club. And how the coach can get the best out of them is an important part of any process in selecting someone.
Are you happy with Jarryd's attitude?
Look, you know, Jarryd is a polarising character. There's no question about that. And, you know, he's a little bit quirky. I'm sure he would agree. He would agree to that if you asked him. But he's not the only quirky player that that I've ever run into during my time in the game. And he's got enormous talent. We've seen that. You know, we've seen glimpses of that since he's been with us. We haven't seen enough of it. There's no question about that. Has he performed to expectations? No, he hasn't. Is he disappointed about that? Of course he is. You know, we're still hopeful that we'll see the Jarryd Hayne that everyone knows is, you know, kind of within him, and that what he can performances that he can produce.
Yeah, Graeme, just the final one from me. Does all this kerfuffle, does it affect the future ownership of your club? Has anyone dropped off that might have been interested, or does it affect the price that you could go to the market with?
Well, I don't think it'll have any impact. I mean, there are only a couple of different groups that have expressed interest so far. You know, there are rumours of others that might be interested, but, you know, they haven't expressed that interest through the club itself. You know, they're more likely to have done that through the NRL as the current owners. But the groups that have been, you know, publicly named, including Darryl Kelly, who's one of our existing directors and was involved with the club previously before the NRL ownership, he's still very keen to talk to the NRL. You know, we've all heard about the North Sydney Bears, and I know that they're still keen to talk to the NRL. So I don't think it'll have any direct impact. But once they start negotiating, of course, that's a matter for the NRL.
Graeme, we thank you so much for your time. You always front up, which is terrific for us, and we wish you good luck with enjoying all that fresh air up there on the Gold Coast.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.